Moran, brother and sister. Los Angeles, California, September 20th, 1902. Dear brother and sister Moran, at one time, when I was in Los Angeles, you spoke to me about the advisability of serving a few regular boarders with meals on the Sabbath at the restaurant. You said that they had pleaded earnestly to be allowed to take their meals at the restaurant on the Sabbath. You say that I told you at that time that I did not see how you could do differently. But since then light has come to me that in keeping the restaurant open on the Sabbath, you were depriving yourselves and the helpers of the Sabbath. At the present time, large numbers are provided with meals on the Sabbath, and the waiters have much to do on this day. The number coming to meals is large, and the Sabbath is made a day of taxing labor. The seventh day is the Lord's memorial. This is plainly stated in the 31st chapter of Exodus, and its proper observance is urged upon us. All this was presented to me, and I was shown the results of keeping our restaurants open on the Sabbath. Can you not see that by closing the restaurant on the Sabbath, you are given opportunity to proclaim the truth? People will ask why the restaurant is closed on this day, and you can then give your reasons for keeping the Sabbath. To many, what you say will be a great mystery, but some will be interested, and to them you can give reading matter on the subject. Thus you can sow the seeds of truth. We have been given a work of most solemn import, the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages. The subject of the first angel's message is the everlasting gospel, and its burden is the warning: the end of all things is at hand. John writes, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of water. Revelation 14, verse 6, 7. Today, men are drawn into pleasure-loving and into worldly business. There are thousands who give no time or thought to the salvation of the soul. The time has come when the message is to sound throughout the world, Fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. Verse 7. This message is of more consequence than all else to the inhabitants of the world, saying with a loud voice. Verse 7. A strong, decided influence is to be exerted to arouse the idolatrous world to take heed to the message. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Verse 8. Babylon symbolizes the fallen churches, and her fall denotes apostasy from God. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast, and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Verses 9-11. This is the warning against the beast and his image, who form a decree enforcing the worship brought to view in the 13th chapter of Revelation. Then the Lord presented before John a company of people standing separate from the world, and the apostle exclaimed, Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, verse 12. To us has been entrusted the work of proclaiming these messages. There is no other work of so great importance. We are to allow nothing else to absorb our attention. It is God's purpose that these messages shall be made known to the world. Those who are workers together with Him will do all in their power to uproot the apostasy that is so deep and widespread. Our work is a great and solemn one. We are to know the Scriptures, that we may distinguish truth from error. It means everything to us to understand what is truth, and to receive it into our lives, and to understand what is meant by the mark of the beast, and to refuse to receive this mark. We must take our stand firmly on the side of God's commandment-keeping people. God will watch over His loyal people. the reward of everlasting life will be given to all who honor him. My dear brother, God holds you responsible to honor his law. You have been in a great hurry to go forward, lest your plan should not be carried out. Were these plans carried out as you wish them to be, you could not manage matters in a way that would glorify God. The Lord has instructed me that you are not qualified to carry out your devising successfully. You have run before your guide Jesus Christ, to do things yourself, things that neither you nor those connected with you can do successfully. In making your calculations for so large a work, you are not acting under the direction of the Lord. You have taken up a work that you have not wisdom to manage. The Lord has not placed this burden upon you. The work that you have planned would absorb your time and strength, and it would bring great perplexity to you, but it would not produce the best results. These hasty movements will not bring souls to the truth, neither will they give you an increased knowledge of the work for this time. The Lord sent you instruction, but you did not obey it. You did not wish to accept it. In your own wisdom, you made moves that blocked the way against the doing of the things that would have advanced the Lord's cause. God is our leader, and if we look to him, he will guide us to success. Let us not follow our own wisdom, for it is foolishness. The wisdom of God alone is unerring. Christ declares, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. Thine ear shall hear a voice behind thee, saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." Isaiah 30, verse 21. I will instruct thee, and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Psalm 32, verse 8, 25, 9, 14. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadest thee by the way which thou shouldest go. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Will you not say from this time, My Father, thou art the guide of my youth? Jeremiah 3, verse 4. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. This is our God forever, he will be our guide even unto death. Psalm 73, verse 24, 48, 14. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, verse 6,